بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we go back to let's stay within the subject inshallah ta'ala we started, because I would like to really have a conversation. يعني certain aspects of the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in carrying the da'wah and the method of carrying the da'wah, this is not debatable. So we talked last time about some of the styles and the approaches that the people of Mecca did to address the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the rumors, accusations of being crazy, being a mad person, being under a magic spell, a liar, you know, all of that was given. They even went and they contacted the Jews in Medina. Look at how the effort. They went actually to Medina, telling them, okay, because you are a people of a book, and this man, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is saying that he gets the report from Allah Ta'ala. He gets the news from the heavens. So give us some questions, you know, that we can actually, you know, present to him so that he cannot answer, which he cannot answer. And if you remember, they asked him about Ashab al-Kahf, and they asked him about their number, and they, you know, various questions about the Qarnayn, and many questions they asked him. And the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied to them and answered them. So even that did not work with them. But then the next step, actually, before they got physical, and they start getting physical with the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba, mainly the Sahaba, specific Sahaba, you know, they tried to negotiate with him. You know, musawama, give and take. You know, and after all, everything is give and take. So they wanted to meet halfway. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to with what? وَدُّ لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. They wish they could, you would compromise, so they would compromise. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu said, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ يَقُولْ لَوْ تُرَخِّصْ لَهُمْ فَيُرَخِّصُونَ. Meaning, if you let them worship the way they function, let them function, and they let you function the way you want to function. Remember, you had people who believed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they did not engage the society, such as the cousin of Khadija, Warqa bin Nawfal. He was a monotheist, but he did not engage the society. So he left them be, and they left him be. They did not object to him. Even the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they saw him pray, you know, they did not object to him as confrontation, etc. You know, but they only started, the confrontation started after he started calling them out on their beliefs and ridiculing their beliefs and their ideas, etc. Abu Ja'far, you know, who's Imam al-Tabari, said that, you know, وَدَّ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُشْرِكُونَ لَوْ تَلِينَ لَهُمْ فِي دِينِكَ بِإِجَابَتِكَ إِيَّاهُمْ إِلَى الرُّكُونِ إِلَىٰ أَلِهَتِهِمْ فَيَمِيلُونَ أَوْ فَيَلِينُونَ لَكَ فِي عِبَادَتِكَ إِلَهِكَ. So that, you know, they wish these mushriks, the idol worshippers, they wish that you become soft for them, you know, worshiping their God, so they will become soft with you worshiping your God. They have no problem with you worshiping. Do not say this is wrong and this is right. You say, you do what you want and I do what I want. That's what they wanted. Just leave us alone, we'll leave you alone. You know, but the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, the ayah was, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. And you have, of course, the other ayah, وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِدْتَ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. إذن لا أذقناك ضعف الحياة وضعف الممات وإن you know ثم لا تجد لك به علينا سبيلا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you know, if it weren't that we stopped you or we made you firm on your position, you were about to leave. Okay. Sa'di, in his tafsir,
you can log out.
Okay.
As-Sa'di, in his tafsir, he said, "Waddu," meaning the mushrikeen, you know, لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا أَيْتُوَافِقْهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضِ مَا عَلَيْهِ. They wish you could approve, accept some of what their practices. إِمَّا بِالْقَوْلِ أَوْ الْفِعْلِ أَوْ السُّكُوتِ. Either by saying some statements of support, or by actions, you do something that would give them the indication that you are okay with what their practices. أو الفعل, or by action, you know, أو بالسكوت, or you remain quiet. Even the silence, you know, Allah Ta'ala says, ودوا لو تدهنوا فيدهنون. The meaning the silence, because if you remember when Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said everything the Prophet said or did or approved. So his silence عليه الصلاة والسلام is an approval, because the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم cannot see something that is haram and stay quiet, cannot see kufr and stay quiet. You know, then where is the message? You know, so that's what they were looking for, some compromise, and some compromise from him. And then Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, guided again by wahi, وَدُّوا لَوْ تِدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُوا. They wish you could compromise, and they, you know, they would compromise. وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ. Allah Ta'ala said, it is if it weren't for us who made you firm on the deen. So not only that, they came back to him in the second offer. They said, نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ عَامًا وَتَعْبُدُ إِلَهَنَا عَامًا. You worship our God 1 year, we worship your God 1 year. I think that's fair. You know, so Allah Ta'ala revealed Surat al-Kafirun, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, and you know Surat al-Kafirun, a very decisive answer to them. You have your deen, I have my deen, you are, you know, in the present and in the future, that is not going to happen. And this ridiculous, you know, give and take was stopped immediately. They tried to tempt him. As we mentioned before, they tried to tempt him with money, with women, with leadership. Again, look at the limited mind of the human being. What does a man want? You know, what do you, as a man, what do you want? What's the most that you can achieve with? Power, money, women, you know. That's the mind, their level of thinking, that the Prophet ﷺ is after this. You give him this stuff, okay, now he'll be happy, set aside. They offered him the leadership, as I mentioned, the power. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he said, لَمْ أُبْعَثْ لِهَذَا. When they were asking him for them, when they're telling him the money, they were telling him, if you want to be a ruler, إِنْشُئْتَ مُلْكًا مَلَّكْنَاكَ. If you want to be the king amongst us, if you want to be the leader amongst us, we'll make you so. He said, لَمْ أُبْعَثْ لِهَذَا. I was not sent for this. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sent to rule for this ruling. He was not sent to be the leader for the sake of leadership. He was sent to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be conveyed without that state, without that position, without that political machinery, you know. But it is not for the sake of being in that position. I just, so if Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, becomes the leader of Quraysh, that is success. No, it's not success unless he rules by what Allah revealed to him. If he did not, then, you know, he did not, you know. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the price for that position was compromise your deen. Let go of your deen. And even, you know, from a human perspective, if they come to me, if they're Catholic, and they would say, you know, we will worship our God 1 year. You worship our God 1 year. But they said it the other way around. We worship our God 1 year. So, you know, why didn't he think, you know, I can actually offer them, you worship my God 1 year. And of course, Islam is the deen of fitra, the deen of nature, the man, the human being. Islam is the deen of rationale. Islam, they will see the beauty of Islam, the majesty of Islam, then how it fits them in the comfort, the inner peace they get. All of this, that's the human rationale. You know, they would be seeing this. But the Rasul ﷺ turned it down. On principle, on principle, not a matter of, because in Islam, and this tells us, ends do not justify the means. Ends do not justify the means. Not by hook and crook, or however way that you can get it, just get it. No, we are principled people. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a principled man, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everything and the benefit of the da'wah. It meant sticking to the da'wah, not deviating from it for, quote unquote, its benefit. Its benefit doesn't matter. The deen will be victorious, if not today, tomorrow, next year, next century. It will be victorious. That's a wa'ad. That's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Nobody speaks more, you know, truth more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the truthful. But, so we are not responsible for the results. We're not responsible. You did not make Islam victorious at your time. No, Allah Ta'ala, when He wants it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become victorious, will make it victorious. What I am responsible for is to obey Allah Ta'ala in working for this team. So that is the main theme of the da'wah for Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ends did not justify the means. he had a methodology that he was stuck with, or he stuck to, and he maintained throughout, and never compromised the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never compromised even on principle, where you'd say you can justify, you know, maybe this will be good, will be the, you know, maybe they will do this, maybe they will do that. And if you notice, even his approach, alayhi salatu wasalam, was not an approach from somebody, look, we're all from Quraysh. I love Quraysh. I love your practice of you people. I am one of you. I am, you know, my, you know, there's so much commonality between what you have and what I have. There's so much, you know, things in common between you, because you worship God, I worship God, except that you worship idols with him. And that's the issue of disagreement here. So let's work on these things, but bridge the gaps. Rasulullah did not do that. Did not do that. He stuck to the aqeedah of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah with everything that's based on it or nothing. And that is something that is really worth mentioning, you know, paying attention to, because it, he wasn't into achieving partial goals. Where I, and now this is how I understand the seerah of Rasulullah up to this point. And now if I were to discuss my understanding personally, now we're not talking about Islam, we're talking about how I understand the seerah of Rasulullah to our common time and how we should follow Rasulullah. I think that the first thing that in with the Muslims in the West, and this is my personal opinion, we don't have a clear goal. The goal of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make Islam supreme, liyudhirahu ala deen kulli. If we ask the activists in the United States, let's stick to the United States, forget about the rest of the Western world. If you ask the Muslims in the United States, for example, and the activists, what is the goal? What are you trying to achieve? Give me, put a, you know, if you have a masjid, you're building a masjid, you started with an organization, you have a mission statement, right? You have a mission, you have a vision. These are statements. You put a statement, this is what this masjid is about, this is what it's going to achieve, this is how our we, this is our vision. If you put it in terms of the da'wah on the national level, you know, what is the goal? What are we trying to achieve? Are we presenting Islam as a complete way of life for the society, or are we trying to fit ourselves within the society? There's a big difference. Because one views Islam to be the supreme, the superior deen, the superior ideas, the one that has a solution for mankind, and the other one sees itself as a subservient or a subset of the big mosaic, you know, the big group. And the best you can do is achieve what the majority in the group gets. Meaning, if you view yourself as a minority and you are promoting yourself as a minority, the best you can achieve, because that's what the minority tries with civil rights, the best you can achieve is the equality with the majority. Take any minority group in the United States, you know, whether the LGBTQ, whether it is the African-American, you know, struggle in the 60s, 70s, etc. What was the whole thing about? Just getting equality with the majority. You know, and we don't want to be discriminated against the majority. But at the end of the day, they're all a subset. They're all within that big system of the United States. My point is that, are we presenting ourselves as somebody who is presenting a different way of, a different worldview, different aqidah, the way we view life as a whole, and a different system, a different way of life, because this is truth, because built on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and this is falsehood because it's not. Are we presenting that, or are we presenting ourselves in a different way? Are we bridging gaps, or are we showing there's a difference between the haqq and the batil? You know, there is the just the basis, just the foundation. And unfortunately now, instead of we Muslims charting our charter in the United States, as an example, based on the aqeedah of Islam and based on the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, with the message of mercy to mankind, with the message of rahmah, the message of, you know, engagement and intellectual dialogue and addressing them, this is your beliefs and these are ours, you know, instead of that, you know, we are addressing them with a We carry the same system you carry. We want the same system you have. You know, I do not see the way the engagement is happening now as something that's unique with our aqidah. Our aqidah is unique, and our methodology and our approach to society is unique. Right now, Muslims fall into the right or the left. So we have some similarities with the right, you know, and of course the right shifts and the left shifts. And so, you know, depending on who's running, and especially this becomes very obvious on the national level. You know, when a Republican versus a Democrat runs, one tends to be more conservative than the others. So, Bush is more, you know, lenient towards family values and et cetera, vote for that. Oh, this is, you know, this person is more liberal so that he will give up equality because the conservative does not represent Muslims 100%. But nor does the liberal, you know, they have an ideology just as bad, just as evil, in my humble view, just as evil as the right. Both of them have huge problems in there, you know. So instead of us charting our own path based on our deen and start a grassroots movement and start dialogue on the level of with the intellectuals, with the professors of the universities, with the students on campuses, organizing on that kind of level, you know, street da'wah even. We find ourselves, you know, trying to see, align yourself with this, align with this, or with that. And unfortunately, in the process, I see that we're paying a very heavy price because it's eating up at our own deen. Now we stand for things that no two Muslims, sane Muslims, sincere Muslims, would argue that they are haram. You know, but we will endorse them because, again, for us, ends justify the means. I need a bigger maslaha, a bigger thing, so I'm going to do this. If Rasulullah's method, and here, by the way, just let me put a qualification. This is with all the respect to any scholar, any alim who's given a fatwa for this or for that. I'm not really talking about fatwas. I'm not talking about a position of this alim or that. I'm not. I'm talking about how I understand the sunnah of Rasulullah. If the Ahkam al-Hakimin was the one who sent the Rasulullah, if the methodology, if the way of thinking and the way of carrying the da'wah in the Meccan era was based on the compromise and the lesser of two evils and all of that stuff that we go into nowadays, you know, then why did he do all of the stuff that he did? Why did he do that? Why didn't he just compromise from the get-go? Look, Al Yasser, and we'll talk about them next week, inshallah. Al Yasser, look at the way the Sumayya was killed. Look at the way that Ammar, look at the way, you know, Yasser, I mean, the torture, Khabbab bin al-Arat, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, these people were tortured. Khabbab bin al-Arat, his skin came off from his back. You know? Uthman bin Affan used to be, you know, wrapped up in straws and they were put on fire. Uthman bin Affan, the son-in-law of Rasulullah. So you're talking about why didn't he say, you know what, I need to take it easy after all my companions, you know, are being harmed, etc. He did not even try to do anything to help them. All he did, sabran ala yasir finna ma'idakum in jannah. Be patient, family of Yasser. Your time is, you know, your reward is Jannah. That's it. He did not try to say to Hadam, let me see if I can set them free. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, even when he set Bilal and other people free, he set them free as a personal thing, not as by the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, let's go for the campaign to set all the weak ones and the slaves and set them free. None of that. The focus was 100% on propagating Islam, and at the end of the day, that's what paid off. Okay, so I'll take a break now.